For our first speaker, we're going to have the assistant professor, former assistant professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University. And I had the pleasure of meeting Judy Wood last September in Washington. It was actually September 24th at a big anti-war rally that coincided with hearings on the 9/11 Commission, which was held by the Congressional Black Caucus. With her engineering background and understanding of physics, Judy knew from the moment she saw the towers fall, they could not have collapsed in that manner without there being other elements involved as cause other than the fire or impact of planes. Please welcome Judy Wood.
Trade Center as analogous to two trees standing tall. How's this? Okay, great. So they're like two trees here and here, and they were designed before the fancy term of biologically inspired design came to be. But I believe they are a biologically inspired design. They're designed to withstand Category 5 hurricanes. How? And how do trees withstand it? They can sway in the breeze, the same as the towers. So these are very tall structures. How do you think that they collapse or fall down? Well, here's a tree that's turned over, and you can see its roots sticking up. But then we typically see the leftover tree lying horizontally. This one is petrified, so it's been there for quite a while. So how does that compare to how the Twin Towers come down? Oh dear, that doesn't look like we would expect. This building, I believe, is around 40 stories tall. This one we know is 47 stories tall. But where are the other 70 or so floors? The building in perfectly normal condition below that point, and there's no building above that point. It's a big puzzle as to what would cause the building to do this spontaneously. Well, let's look at the structure, how it was designed and put together. We have this core, and then we have the outer rings, just like a tree with rings. And if you look at the side of this tree here, you could have the Keebler elves cutting out this chunk out of the side and putting their house in there. They could even let their cookie oven catch fire. And do you think it would affect the stability of this structure? So cutting out a large chunk out of the side of this building is not going to affect its stability. Here's a tree that I saw on the internet, somebody taking down a tree. It was rotted out, it was hollow. And they had to work at it pretty hard to get it to come down. It was completely hollow, and they chunked out the front and the back, and finally they got it down. And you can see it was just completely rotted out. So with it completely rotted out, why wouldn't a big chunk taking out of it like that cause it to come down? So now let's look at the towers. We have the bark on the outside, and we have the structure that goes between the middle and the outside. Here's the outside edge. The floors are bolted from the outside to the inner core. Here's the core. You can see very substantial columns, very beefy core columns. Here are the outside columns, and the floors are bolted between the two. And there'll be another one bolted up here. So can you imagine if those floors started pancaking down, what we would find? We would find this core column still standing. We'd find the outer column still standing. You'd just be missing the floors. So this is built a lot like a tree, a ring, a tube within a tube, which is an extremely strong design. There's nothing short of some pretty high energy devices that could bring it down. Again, a tree is built of rings, and it can undergo some damage early on in its life. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. It can heal and keep growing. So if you shoot a bullet through this tree, is it going to affect its ability to stand? Flying planes into the Twin Towers is equivalent to shooting a tree with bullets to try to bring it down. So to familiarize where the events happened, supposedly a plane came from the north and supposedly a plane came from the south and entered the towers. Then we have this other mystery over here. Notice there's some other buildings and street in between. But you all know that. So again, here's this building looking like a volcano. Due to a couple of bullet holes through it. Now, does a tree collapse from the top down, turning into sawdust? Apparently so. Now we're going to look at the official story. They tell us on page 305 of the 9/11 Commission report that the South Tower came down in 10 seconds. You gonna buy that? Recently, the NIST report said 11 seconds for the North Tower and 9 seconds for the South Tower. Okay, 10 seconds plus or minus. Is this reasonable? Let's figure it out. How complicated of a model do we need? If we keep it simple, we just need to prove that they're wrong. That's all we need. Now, if I give you this story that I ran 10 miles to the store, then 5 more miles to the bank, 7 miles to the dog track, maybe I placed a bet there, maybe I didn't, 21 more miles to my friend's house, and then back home, all in 2 minutes, are you going to believe me? What are you going to use to disprove me? How about the world's record for 1 mile? 3 minutes, 43 seconds for 1 mile. How can I run 43 miles in half that time? Seems pretty impossible. So remember, the proof need not be complicated. We're going to use the same type of proof to look at how the towers came down to prove that it had to be controlled demolition. Had to be intervention. We don't need to prove how long it should have taken or how much longer it would have taken me to run that 43 miles if I stopped to place a bet at the dog track. Now, they were saying it was pancaking in the original report. We're going to see if that makes sense. So let's say here's where the damage zone is, and the building starts coming down until you have the stack of pancakes at the end of the day. Or at the end of the 9 seconds? Or does it just go poof on the way down? How might we model this progressive collapse? Well, let's look at the data. Here we have a street with what looks to be the top half of one of the towers, at least. And at the end of the story, we have this little Cushman traffic scooter. You can even see the tires and the hubcaps, so we know that the material isn't very deep. Where'd the material to the buildings go? Also, notice this nice, pristine building off in the distance. So we know it's sometime before 5:20 p.m. that day. Now, we're going to figure out which way to model it. We're going to choose between these two. Does it look like we just have the stack of pancakes pushing down? Or do we see something else happening? I think this is a pretty good way of looking at it, that it turns to dust on the way down, so there's no more mass to push it down. So if we look at conservation of energy and conservation of mass, well, the mass goes out to the sides, it goes up in the air, and it goes out of the system we're talking about. So do we have this pile driver? A lot of folks say that there's a pile driver there that mashes the building down like a big giant trash compactor. Does that make sense if it's turning to dust? So here's where supposedly the damage is, and it's interesting that it's exactly along the same floor all the way around. I thought that was pretty fascinating. As it starts to come down, notice how this floor doesn't really move much, but the top compresses down. Obviously, it does not stay as a solid unit, acting as a giant trash compactor or as a pile driver. This is disintegrating before the remainder starts disintegrating. So I think this is a pretty good setup, that it just turns to dust on the way down. And, well, let's check again to make sure that we have the right idea. Notice here, there's no building above and no debris falling below. So the building's just turning to dust at the rate at which that the front of that wave travels down the building, which appears to be slightly faster or at about the same speed as the free fall of gravity. Otherwise, you would see the debris kicked out over here. You would see it falling down, but you don't. Some instances you do. This, I believe, is Tower 1. This is Tower 2. So let's see how long it would take just one item to fall off the roof. I'm going to use billiard balls because they're all standard issue. They're just different colors, so we can keep track of which is which. So we drop a blue billiard ball off the roof of Tower 1. If it's in a vacuum, you assume no air resistance. We're going to give the official story the most benefit we can. As it starts to fall, it picks up speed, and eventually it hits the pavement below 9.22 seconds later. Already, you kind of wonder how NIST could say that one of the towers came down in 9 seconds. That's faster than it would take a billiard ball to fall in a vacuum that same distance. But this is if just the blue ball drops all by itself. What about the other floors? Well, if the blue ball has to fall down a certain distance to trigger the next floor to fall, let's take into account the damage. So we're going to say we have 10 or 9 floors of damage here. And just to do an overkill, 9 out of every 10 floors, we're going to just gut out and have this thing like Swiss cheese all the way down to the ground. So we basically have 11 floors with 9 hollow floors in between. So this blue ball would fall down like it did in the previous slide. But as it passes the 100th floor, just the fact that it's past that floor, we're going to say it starts the next floor moving. It's going to start the 100th floor moving, which is the red ball. The red ball starts traveling down, but when it passes the 90th floor, the yellow ball gets to start moving. And the yellow ball, when it gets to the 80th floor, triggers the next one and so forth. That would take 31 seconds. That's a lot longer than 9 or 11 seconds. But we didn't have that much damage. Well, if we look at floor by floor by floor, again, assuming no resistance in the building whatsoever, we're just looking at the timing. So if the 110th floor triggers the 109th floor, which has to trigger the 108th floor and so forth, that's 97 seconds before everything comes down. That's like 10 times the length of time that NIST says it took. We're not even close. So let's look at this again. We're sure that it didn't end up as a stack of pancakes at the end of the day. It blew up along the way, looking like this, all in 10 seconds, plus or minus. And look at this nice, neat little pile at the end. I call these the wheat checks that are sticking back up. The remnants of the outer columns, which are only a few stories tall. But we have this little pile of rubble. Where did all the material go? So they're telling us basically 10 seconds it took for both towers to come down, or no, for the towers to be destroyed. How is that possible? If we were going to talk about gravity, if it was a gravity collapse, the 100th floor would need to get a 2.4 second head start before the blue ball got there. So before the blue ball can come down and trigger the red ball to start moving, the red ball has to begin moving. And before the red ball gets to the 90th floor to trigger the yellow ball has to get a head start. So if they all get a head start, we can get the whole thing in the ground under 10 seconds. But how could the floors below start moving before the above floors fell apart or triggered them to start moving? Maybe they had some help. Oh, I see some help. Coming out here. The center of each face. Now here's a video that's going to play. We're going to watch very carefully for these little puffs shooting out.
Back in New York at 10:29, the North Tower of the World Trade Center collapses. These two towers were once among it. Back in New York at 10:29, the North Tower of the World Trade Center collapses. These two towers were once among it. Back in New York at 10:29, the North Tower of the World Trade Center collapses. These two towers were once among
them. It's very rhythmic. Isn't it an interesting coincidence that they're so evenly spaced? So looking at this again, does this look like a building just mildly collapsing? It just gets too hot and the steel starts sagging? It's not going to shatter. Steel doesn't shatter when it gets hot. It wilts. It doesn't look like a building wilting. It looks more like a volcano. Yeah, that's a pretty good volcano. I had this as a desktop pattern at the beginning of last semester, and a student came up to me after class and looked at it and said, "Ooh, morbid." I looked surprised at morbid. I think it's fascinating. See, I was always taught that gravity acted down, but look here, it acts up. And the student became fascinated with that and became interested in studying events of 9/11. Now this is one of my most fun videos. I like this one particularly because of that radio tower at the top. If you notice when it starts down, it leans to the right, leans to the left, leans back to the right. I can't think of a physical phenomenon natural phenomenon that would cause that. So watch it lean to the right, then tips back to the left. If it's leaning to the right, there's no more force on the left-hand side. So why is it failing over the left-hand side to cause it to tip back? Now, these set of pictures, what do they have in common? This would look something like this, look something like these. These two are Mount St. Helens. This is a nuclear test out in Nevada. And this is one of the Twin Towers. I think, looking at these, that they all have a similar type of energy release, a huge energy release. We're not talking about kabumpity-bumpity-bump of floors just happen to be falling down.
We love you, Judy.
That's great.